Hi, just a quick note before the podcast starts. When I recorded this episode, I ended up having some technical issues with my track, and there's a lot of clipping, so my voice sounds a little bit loud, maybe yelling or something like that. It's still listenable. Just please understand and bear with me with the slightly poor audio quality. The content is well worth listening to. I hope you enjoy this interview with Angie Herrera. Hi, welcome to the Website 101 podcast. I'm Sean Smith, your host, and today I'm joined by Angie Herrera from Block 81, and we're going to be talking about how to select a web company or a web developer and what to do when your current relationship isn't working out. Angie, welcome to the podcast. Could you introduce yourself a little?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Sean. So I run Block 81, my design studio, which is really just me for the most part, though I have people that help me from time to time that I rely on. But yeah, it's mostly just me. I've been doing it for, gosh, I want to say 15 years now. I've been a designer for almost 20. So I'm a designer, front-end developer, and the designer aspect isn't just for web stuff. I also do branding and print design, that sort of thing. But primarily, 95% of my work is on the web.
Wow, 15 years on web and 20 years in design. Yeah. That is a lot of history.
And, it is. And so I've seen a lot of changes.
I can imagine. So you do all of that work yourself, the design, the development, and then when you're busy, you'll hire somebody to help you out on an overflow basis?
Yeah, for the most part. But then also, like, if there's something that's a little bit more complex that requires, you know, custom PHP type stuff, plugin writing, add-on writing, that sort of thing, that's above my pay grade. So I usually bring in someone else for that.
I raise my hand on that one as well. I've also hired people to help out with some PHP work. Like, there's only so much you can learn. The industry is so wide and deep.
Yeah.
Okay, so our topic today is to find out or give advice to people who are working with a web developer and there's some issues and they want to find a new one, or maybe they're a new business and they're looking for somebody to help them out. They're ready to move on beyond something like Wix or Squarespace, and they don't know how to choose a custom developer. So what are your thoughts on that?
I have lots of thoughts on that.
I know it's very broad and open-ended to start.
It's, you know, it's tough. I never expect clients to really understand what goes into building a website, especially when you've got stuff like Wix. You know, they've got their YouTube ads, for instance. If you're ever on YouTube, they have their Wix ads that they're like, hey, I'm building my website, blah, blah, blah. Which is great, but it oversimplifies what really happens and what really needs to happen on a website to actually make it do the things you need it to do for your business. So finding the right designer, developer is pretty tough, in the sense that if you don't know anyone, then you're kind of starting from zero, right? You can do a bunch of research, right? You can look at, you know, Google, look it up on Google and see what you come up with, but that doesn't necessarily you're finding the best fit for you. So one of the things that I recommend is, you know, to talk to your network of friends, your colleagues, that sort of thing. Somebody probably knows someone who knows someone that knows a web designer, a web developer. And then from there, it's
really just, or at a minimum, you could go talk to a business association as well.
Yeah, like absolutely.
Your local chamber of commerce or whatever.
Yeah. If you belong to a networking group, there's a good chance that if there's not already a web developer in that group, then somebody probably knows someone. Especially if you're working with other business owners, because they probably have a website that they had built by someone. So that's the best place to start. That's.
All right. So let's say I'm looking for somebody, and my colleague or somebody in the business group recommends their web developer. Should I just work with them, or like, is it like, you know, I want to get some work done in my house and I get two or three quotes and I choose the cheapest quote?
Right.
Or do I choose the middle quote because that's probably the best value? Or what are some red flags or things that I should look for that would make it a good choice or make me feel comfortable that I'm making the right choice?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it doesn't always boil down to price. Sometimes the higher quote is actually woefully inaccurate. They could just be bloating up the prices. And sometimes the lower quote really is, giving you what you need. But price is actually a pretty bad indicator of the kind of developer or studio or agency that you're going to get. It really starts from the moment you interact with them. Some developers, they'll try to, talk all this techno mumbo jumbo to you and that you don't understand. And that's not your, it's not your job to understand all that. You need to understand it in a way that's going to help your business. So when a
developer...
Yeah, when
a web developer should be able to translate the jargon
exactly
for their clients so that they can understand
right
and make the right decision.
And that's not even the place to start the conversation. It really needs to start with, what are you trying to get out of this website? Is it as simple as I just need a website up? Because if that's the case, then that's going to give you a certain kind of site. Or is it something like I needed to integrate with my CRM, I needed to integrate with my POS and whatever else I needed to do, and I needed to also bring in this amount of money, that sort of thing, then you're talking about a bigger project that isn't just web design. It really is about integration and business growth and that sort of thing. So it really just, like I said, it depends on, the conversation you start to have. And if the person that you're talking to for web design is just throwing, names like Craft or WordPress or Expression Engine or whatever, that doesn't matter. Like I only work with a few different CMS platforms, for instance, but at the end of the day, which one I put it on doesn't matter a whole lot to the client. It matters to me because I know what's going to get them from point A to point B, but they just want to get to point B. Do they need to know how to build a Craft site? Or do they need to know how to build a WordPress site? No, they don't. But when a developer is starting to throw all of that stuff out, yeah, you should work on WordPress because it's the best, it's the most popular, blah, blah, blah. That's just a developer being biased in their own tools, when really they should be asking you questions about, okay, what is it that you want to do with this website? Do you have a current website? If so, where is it failing? Where is it not doing what you need it to do? Maybe you don't need a redesign at all. Maybe we just need to freshen up what you have and optimize it for performance, for SEO, for whatever it may be.
So we're the starting point shouldn't be the technology.
Correct.
It should be the goals of the website.
Correct. Absolutely.
What are your business goals? What should this achieve?
Mm-hmm.
Because honestly, any CMS can achieve any business goal.
Yeah.
It's just that having the developer understand the business goal and make the CMS work to achieve your
exactly
as easily and simply as possible.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that's a big thing, cuz as designers and developers for the web, we have to basically be translators, and we need to not only translate the jargon, but we need to be able to translate a client's goals into whatever it is that we're building. To give you an example, I just started working with a client who had a developer, and they got, I don't know how far along they got in their project. I mean, deep enough to the point where the client finally pumped the brakes and was like, wait, this isn't what we're after. We wanted this, and we're going down this other direction.
Uh-oh.
And so it's really kind of messed up, because the client ended up pulling back and saying, I'm going to write a user experience document. They started writing a UX document when honestly that should have been done before the project even started.
Right.
Or should have been done at the very beginning of the project by the developer, and it didn't have to be a UX document. It could have been just, a creative brief, something to say, all right, this is what you've told me. This is what I understand. This is where we're going. Is this right? Yes, no. Okay. If it isn't, then let's fix it, so we're all on the same page, and then go from there. And that was critical for me when I was discussing this project with this new client, because they were already, I don't want to say burnt, because they don't have any ill will toward this other developer. They just didn't feel like they were understood. They didn't feel like they were listened to. And so it was kind of my job to play therapist and be like, oh, okay, well, this is what you want. We can do that. And I'm listening to you and that sort of thing. And it really is about listening and not just, just saying, yeah, we can do it. We can do it. We can do it. Really, truly understand where they're coming from.
Yeah. You need to listen, not just hear.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I think it's really important. I agree that it's really important to be able to understand what the client wants and needs. And if your developer is not asking questions and instead just saying yes, 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 then that's probably not the right person for you. You need somebody who's going to ask you questions and somebody who's willing to say, I think this is wrong. Like, what you're saying and what you actually want are two different things. Or you think this is a good idea because of A, B, and C, but here in my experience, a better approach is this. And then, you know, your developer or agency should be willing to push back on you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And that doesn't mean it's my way or the highway, but they should be willing to negotiate what the best approach for you.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned earlier about, a red flag coming up when you're talking to a potential developer you're going to hire. That's one of them. If they're not asking questions, that's a big red flag. If they're just saying, yeah, we can do that, and they're only asking about budget and timeline, and they're not asking some of the deeper questions, that's a big red flag. And you're right.
That's probably due to either inexperience as an independent business or somebody who's just familiar with being an employee and getting told what to do and just doing what they're told rather than thinking about business goals.
Exactly. And you're right about the pushback too. Like you said, it doesn't mean that it's my way or the highway. When I push back on something that the client is requesting or suggesting or whatever, it's not because it needs to be done my way. I just want to make them aware of what the consequences are of what they're suggesting. If it doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad thing, but maybe it could be done a better way. And so I will push back. And if they still say, no, I want to do it this way, then fine. At least I've made them aware. And if later on down the road they realize, oh, you know what, that isn't working, I guess you were right in the first place, that's fine. At least I let them know. They're not coming down, down the road 6 months later and being like, you know what, we did this, I asked you to do this, why isn't it working? Oh, I guess I never explained it, whatever. So it's better to just be upfront and be like, in a professional and courteous and nice way, just be like, you know what, I hear what you're saying, but I really think that this other way to get to the same point, to the same end result, is going to be better for you because of reason A, B, or C. And most clients, they're going to be reasonable people, and they're going to be like, okay, well, you know what you're doing because you've done this for however many years, and I trust
15
you.
15 or 20 years.
Right. I'm going to trust you, and we're going to go with what you say as long as I'm getting what I think I want. So, yeah.
Yeah, I've pushed back on clients before, and most times they will change their mind and agree with me, and other times they won't, and they'll say, insist, I want to do it this way. And I say, all right, I've told you what I think, and maybe I'm right, and they'll come back and say, hey, we were wrong, let's do it your way. And now they've paid for it twice. But other times, they might be right. And
that's true. Yeah.
It works out for them. And maybe it's because they have a deeper understanding of their business. And than I did.
Yeah.
Not everything I'm going to say is correct, but your developer or your agency should be willing to push back on you and give you advice and not just be a yes man.
Right. Yeah, totally.
All right, so we've been working for a couple of years or whatever with an agency or developer. Is there ever a time that I should start looking at getting a new web developer or a new agency? When might I consider that the relationship has ended or whatever?
Yeah. Whatever. Yeah, I get what you're asking. Like, when when is it time to move on? That sort of thing. You know, what,
yeah,
what are the
reasons? Because relationships never last forever.
Yeah. That's a really good question. And there's in the bigger answer, there's like tiny little answers, right? So, it really depends on what's going on with your business. If it's something as simple as, well, this developer is no longer responsive, this developer isn't listening to me, that sort of thing, then it's time to, well, hopefully, you know, you sit down and have a talk with them and be like, look, I have to email you multiple times to get something done. It takes you forever. You don't let me know that you're busy, that sort of thing. And a good professional developer would be like, you know, I'm really sorry. I will do better, whatever. Let's work this way. Maybe you change some of the parameters of your working relationship. Otherwise, if it doesn't work out, then yeah, it's time for it to look for a new one. But if it's a matter of, if it's a matter of your business just outgrowing who you're working with, that's also, I mean, that also requires a conversation, I think, because
what would be an example of my business outgrowing the relationship with a web developer?
So for instance, like I'm primarily a freelancer, I guess, if you want to call it that. It's not my favorite word in the world, but and I think you are too.
I don't like that word myself.
So as freelancers, there's only so much that we can do. I mean, yeah, we have people that we bring in and everything, but there's still only so much that we can do, especially once a business starts growing and starts needing different needs. When we work with a business that simply needs some help online with their websites and maybe with a little bit of their online marketing, that's one thing. But then if they start getting into like the deeper marketing, the deeper digital marketing that involves social, it involves pay-per-click advertising, it involves all this other stuff that we don't necessarily work with or we don't have the resources to work with, then that's a perfect time to be like, look, we really like working with you, but we need more. We've outgrown you. And that's, there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, the best way to look at it is like, that's awesome because I've done my job. You're growing. I've contributed to that even in a little bit. And now you need to move on to the next person or team. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's actually something to be kind of happy about.
So as the developer, I should be happy that I've carried them this far.
Sure.
And that they're ready to move on to somebody else. I guess the reverse could be true as well, is that your agency or web developer could have outgrown you as a client.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they might come back to you and say, well, you know, things have, I've gotten really busy, or I'm pivoting in a new direction and mm-hmm. I need to up my rates. Yeah. And maybe those rates are more than your business is able to handle. In that case, it might be time to find another developer, right, or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I've actually recently heard of a story of a developer here in Portland who, she was doing primarily what you and I do, was building websites. But then she decided to switch gears and move into consulting almost entirely. And so she still has a couple of web design clients, but she's mostly doing consulting. So that's a perfect example of like, look, I'm switching gears. I can't work with you in this capacity anymore. If you want, I can help you in this new capacity. Otherwise, we need to part ways, or I can help you find a new developer or whatever it may be. But yeah, that's another example.
Actually, interestingly, that reminded me of a similar situation. I did some work for this developer several years ago. And he has since pivoted his business, and he's working on PowerPoint, custom PowerPoints for people.
Yeah.
And he recently reached out and offered to pass on contact information for some of his clients, and I'm taking over the work from them.
Right, right. Yeah, I've been in a similar situation too. Yeah, it definitely happens. I mean, things change. Nothing's really ever permanent. And so for me, the biggest thing is just being open and communicate honestly. You know, my biggest pet peeve is when a client disappears and I get in touch with them to see how things are doing, and then they're like, oh, we're fine, and then later on I realize they've had their entire site redesigned and rebuilt, and I'm like, you could have at least told me that you were leaving. I would have been okay with that. It would have hurt. It would have stung, but you could have told me, you know?
Yeah. That also happened to me a few years ago. And that's when I started a mailing list so that I can keep in touch with my clients.
Exactly.
At least. Yeah. I was like, wow, wait, you just went off and they ended up using, Squarespace, I think.
Yeah.
And it's like, I checked in once a year, and I was like, well, I guess once a year is not enough.
Yeah, so, yeah, totally.
Because they were really didn't do a lot, and then all of a sudden there was like, yeah, we just built a new site with Squarespace. Like, wow, I would have loved to have helped, but I didn't. It, right. It didn't work out.
Yeah, it's just a pet peeve of mine. I wish people would communicate a little bit better when they're feeling like they need a redesign. You know, and if you just tell me I don't want to work with you, okay, then thanks for letting me know. Then I can at least archive all my files that I have on you and not have it take up any room on my computer. I don't know.
Well, yeah, it's better than being left hanging.
Yeah.
So let's assume that you're breaking it off with your current agency or developer, and it's an amicable breakup. Like we're no longer a fit. We're not hating each other. I mean, sometimes bad relationships happen, but let's assume it's a good relationship. What can the business owner expect to get from an agency, or what should they get? What are your responsibilities to the web developer or agency as well?
Right. That really depends on your contract. So for instance, a lot of developers I know, and that sounds like I know a lot, at least the developers I've spoken to about this sort of thing, and myself included, you know, what they get as far as once their project is done is they get the final product, right? They don't get my sketches. They don't get my native sketch file, that sort of thing. They get the final product. Right. That includes the code. And so when you know, if you are breaking it off in an amicable way, then I think a reasonable thing to expect is that you can take your website to a different host if you want. You can, you know, all of that stuff, the hosting, the domain registrar, that should be under your control anyway. It shouldn't necessarily be under the control of your web agency. Sometimes it is, and that's fine. And a professional enough agency will be like, okay, you want to leave? Here are the keys basically to your car. You can, you know, do whatever you want.
Well, I do some hosting for my clients.
Yeah, I do as well, quite a bit.
But if a client wanted to leave, I'd be like, all right, and like you said, here's the keys, you're going to find another host. All right, great. Here's what you need to do. Boom.
Right, right.
I'm not going to hold you hostage.
Yeah, exactly. I've done the same thing, and there's no ill will. It's just like, okay, for whatever reason, you're telling me you're not, whatever. You want to leave. Okay, cool. Here's how you access your site. Here's how you get a backup. Here's, you know, all this other information that you may need. I think that sort of thing is completely reasonable to expect when you're...
I would also add in, make sure that you have access to the software licenses. So your CMS license, any plugin licenses. I've taken over sites from other developers where the client, my new client came in and they had nothing.
Mm.
They had their hosting and that's it. I needed to do work. They owned licenses, but they didn't have proof that they owned it.
Right.
So they had to buy new licenses when it was time for updates. And
right.
It's just make sure you get all of that. So for my own clients, what I do is I get my clients to buy the licenses themselves and then send me the license numbers. This way, they control it all. There's no issue.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely one approach. I actually don't. I buy all the licenses myself and then just bill them directly. But if a client decides that they want to leave and work with another developer, I tell them, look, if you ever need this information, I'm happy to give it to you or the developer. Just get in touch with me. I have no problem. In fact, it's better that way because I want to give you that information. Otherwise, for instance, you know, an Expression Engine add-on license sits in my devotee account and just sits there and, you know, and it's not being used. Or at least I don't think it's being used. I don't know when this client has left. So I'd rather be like, yeah, can I, you know, here's the information if you need it. But because I've been in a situation where, yeah, I took over a site and I've had to ask the developer, hey, can you give me access to this or can you transfer the license? Sometimes I get a reply, sometimes I don't, just depending on who it is. But I think, again, it just really boils down to communication. Now, it's not the client's job to understand how those licenses work unless you explain it to them and they are part of that process, like in your case. But I think that as the developer who's taking over, they need to be able to educate them on that and be like, look, you have these plugins, you've got these add-ons, they have these licenses that cost money. At some point, either you paid for them yourself or your developer paid for them on your behalf. So we need access to those so that you're not having to pay all over again for it. And honestly, this is true for anybody. If you start talking in numbers like that, in like money numbers and saying, look, you don't want to pay again, people's ears will perk up and be like, oh, okay, I'll go reach out to so-and-so.
Yeah, I've been in that situation before. And most times the previous developer or agency will provide that information for you or transfer the license ownership or whatever. But a couple of times, they're like, it's not my responsibility anymore. I don't care. I say, whoa, that's professional.
Yeah, exactly.
Mind blowing. So that brings us to the next point. What should I do when a relationship breaks down due to neglect, incompetence, or other issues resulting in mutual distrust or, you know, just animosity, things like that? Like, is there any advice you can have for a situation to get these assets that you need if your relationship's going south or what?
That's a really tough question for me to answer personally, just because I haven't had that scenario come up, knock on wood.
Well, let's do a hypothetical.
Yeah.
I did have this recently where the relationship between me and a client dissolved. Mm-hmm. And it was, in my opinion, it was due to staff changes and personality conflict with my new contact. We ended it. It wasn't going well. And I gave them the keys, everything. I just like, boom.
Yeah.
You know, I gave everything because I don't want to own them.
Yeah.
But there are some developers that I have experience being the new guy where an old guy wouldn't give any information at all.
Right.
And it's really frustrating. I had no idea how to proceed. And my client was like, I don't know.
Yeah. I think your approach is the right one. I've definitely had situations where things weren't great, but never anything so bad where there's like, you know, animosity and just anger and whatever, thankfully. But I think your approach was the right one in terms of, okay, this relationship isn't going well. They're going to leave. They've told me they're leaving or looking for a new developer or whatever. Then yeah, put all that information that they need in a nice, neat little package and send it off to them and be like, okay, this is us breaking it clean. Here you go. Here's that info. And then that way you're not holding anything intentionally or not. You're not holding anything over their heads and they can't come back around and be like, see, you didn't do this or you didn't provide that, you know? So you're just, you're just giving them what they need for the next agency.
I also told them to make sure they change all the passwords that I had access to.
That's a great idea.
I was like, look, I'm deleting my records because I don't want to have it, but you should still change it just to be safe.
Right. Or tell tell them with your next developer, here's the access. Make sure that they delete my account so that, you know, I don't have access to that.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. So as a developer, what do you think clients can do better to help relationships with their agency or web developer? And we're going to also do the reverse, where what can we do better to help our clients?
I think the answer is the same. It's just speak up and you know, just communicate. Because some of the problems that I've experienced over the years was really just a misunderstanding, a lack of communication. You know, if the client is feeling uncomfortable about something, then either I haven't made them feel comfortable or made them feel like they can reach out to me whenever. Or not whenever, but at least, you know, via different methods, then then that's kind of on me. But if I've given them that information, I've said, look, you can email me here. You can book a time to chat with me here, that sort of thing. Then, I mean, they've had that forewarning. So if they decide still to not communicate, that's kind of on them. And so they need to, and then even vice versa, right? If I'm getting frustrated with a project, then I need to be able to say, look, time out. This is how we need to work. And this is what's not working right now, that sort of thing. So it really just, in my opinion, I think this is true for life, not just for web development. I think it's just a matter of communicating. And I will fully admit I'm not the best communicator in the world, but I damn sure try.
Yeah, I think that it's the key is communication and timely responses.
Yeah. Oh, that's a big one. Being responsive, I don't know how many times clients have literally come to me, we've started working together, and they've told me at some point in the process, thank you for being responsive. The last person I talked to would take a week before I heard from them. And I'd be like, that's insane. That's completely insane.
I aim to respond to all of my emails within one business day.
Damn.
And I usually do email responses at 9 in the morning when I sit down at my desk. Sometimes I also check email just before I leave at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But I always respond at the beginning of the day. So any of the emails that come in during the day, the previous day, I reply back, yeah, oh, I'm on it, or ask for a clarification or whatever. And I also think that a lot of clients could do a little bit better in that area. Sometimes you get delays on projects because they're not doing things for adding in content or responding to questions so that you can move forward with whatever work needs to be done on the website.
Yeah, and that's part of this. So when I start a project or when I start talking to someone who's looking to potentially hire me, one of the questions that almost always comes up is, how long is this going to take? And it's such a loaded question because it isn't just dependent on me. Yeah, I can tell you how long it's going to take me to build section A or section B, how long it's going to take to design the mockups and that sort of thing. But in between all those things requires client feedback. So how long is it going to take you for you to get back to me? That also is part of the equation of how long is this project going to take? So that's something that also kind of, like you said, it's something that clients also need to be aware of. But at the same time, us as the people that are being hired, we need to be upfront at the beginning and be like, okay, look, this is the schedule. This is tentative because it's going to depend on how long it takes for you to get back to me, as well as how long it takes me to build this out or design this or whatever. So again, if you're upfront and lay the groundwork, lay the ground rules, the expectations at the beginning of a project, then it's going to be a lot more smoother.
Right. So yeah. Oh, this project's going to take 4 weeks. But that assumes that you respond within one or two business days to requests for information and answers. If it takes you a week to answer each time, well, then it could be like months before it's done because,
exactly. Yeah.
You know, I can't work if I don't get answers or the information mm-hmm. that I need.
Right.
Okay. So actually, I kind of run out of questions. did you have any other thoughts or maybe articles that you think would be helpful?
Articles, I don't. I mean, I read articles all the time. So I feel like I read them and then I process them and then I forget about them. But I don't know. This whole like client designer, client developer relationship is, it's like any, right? It's tricky, and as long as you're communicating, I think it could work really well. I mean, I've got clients that I've had for a long time, like years. And then I've had clients who stick around for a year and then they're off doing the next thing. And that's fine. I mean, everybody's going to do what they want to do, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. But like what we've been talking about, what I've kind of been harping on is just communicate. Just be honest and be like, look, this is great. I mean, it's not just about communicating the negative stuff, right? Also communicate the good stuff, you know, because a developer doesn't always want to hear just what they're doing, you know, how they can improve or anything. They also want to hear what they're doing well, just like anybody. like, I don't know. It's just, I think it's just, you know, the golden rule. The golden rule applies here. I don't know. It's just
about everybody wants praise.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just, you know, treat your clients with respect because they deserve it. Everybody deserves it. I mean, I worked with someone who I actually hired for a project, and they made a comment about the client, and I was like, well, that's uncalled for. First of all, you're not working with the client directly, and secondly, why would you bite the hand that feeds you? You know, at the end of the day, clients, the work that they provide us help us, you know, live. So
your contractor was bad mouthing your client
a little bit. Yeah, it wasn't anything terrible, but it was like, you need to pump the brakes there, buddy.
Yeah, that seems a little bit wrong.
Yeah,
I mean I don't know details, but
yeah,
that
honestly,
would be kind
I think,
of uncomfortable.
I think that this contractor was just, he was getting burnt out or something, which I've come close. So you start to feel negative about work in general, but still, you know.
Well, everybody has bad days or weeks.
Yeah,
it happens from time to time.
Believe me, there have been days where I'm just like not in the mood to work, but I've got a deadline to meet or something, and I read an email and I just want to, you know, throw my laptop out the window, but I don't. I step away and I figure out somehow, some way to just take a chill pill and then respond.
Excellent.
When I'm in a better mood, because responding when you're angry is the worst thing you can do. And God knows I'm guilty of that. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, we've all been there. So, Angie, thank you so much for coming out today and recording with me. Can you tell listeners where they can find you online, social media, your website?
Yeah. So my website is block81.com. And I'm also on Twitter as just Angie Herrera. I've got one for my studio too, but I rarely put anything there. yeah, I mean, those are the two places. I think Instagram, like my business Instagram is a good place too. That's block81_PDX. Yeah, so those are the three places.
We'll include links to all of those in the show notes.
Yeah, and LinkedIn. I know you mentioned that that I post stuff on LinkedIn from time to time that you enjoy. So LinkedIn is a good one.
Oh, yes. Angie has at least once a week she posts these short little nuggets of advice that I think are really good for clients. I don't have an example offhand, but go check her profile, follow her. She'll give you some good advice.
Appreciate that.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Sean.
Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed this show. I'm Sean Smith, your co-host. You can find me at my company website, caffeinecreations.ca, on Twitter at caffeinecreation, on LinkedIn, my username is Caffeine Creations, or you can search for Sean Smith based in Toronto. You should be able to find me there.
And I'm Mike Mella. You can find me at my website, belikewater.ca, or on LinkedIn. My username is Mike Mella. That's MIKEMELLA. And I'm on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeMella.
And don't forget to subscribe to the show and share it with your friends on social media, such as Facebook or LinkedIn. You can find us on Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you subscribe to your favorite podcasts.
And we're always looking for topic and guest suggestions. So if you have any, hit us up at website101podcast.com/contact.
Excellent. Thank you so much for listening.
Thanks for listening.